Hello, everyone. This is the blessing call, Yeshua's time to be with us and offer his love and grace and healing and support and consolation as we meet every Sunday to receive this together. Thank you, Yeshua, for being here with us. And we ask that you be with those who are under stress, either grieving or wanting more answers in life, wanting a better life, needing consolation and fulfillment and upliftment. We come for all the reasons that are human, all the reasons we share, and we are so glad to be with you. We look forward to this day with you and hold it in our hearts for the whole 6 days in between. And welcome to everyone who has joined in this call. We hold you in our hearts as well. And we have some wonderful things to talk about today. Let's see. Where do we go first? Who would like to speak? Anyone have something to comment on? I know we had a long discussion before we started the recording, and I just want to express my devotion to be with you prayerfully for the very, very best result, Darlene, for your family. And I know that there are others who probably have similar needs or request for support, shall we say. Because sometimes we, just knowing that we have support, is not just good in the hard times, but it's good in the good times when we know what we want, but we're not sure we have the strength to get it. We're not sure we have all the understanding or the resources. You know, the fact is, everyone, we came into this life with all the resources of heaven, the resources of God that were given to us as children of God. Then we forgot about that because it's part of our ordained mission to forget and then rediscover. But sometimes all it takes is to find a friend, a family member, a coworker, someone who cherishes our dream, our aspiration, and just looks us in the eye and says, yes, you can do it. And we reconnect with all the resources that we brought into this life. And so we're here to do that as well. And I see Kathy, you're on the phone. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, Glenda. Hi, Darlene and everyone. I just wanted to say that in listening to Darlene and having been through plenty of family challenges, I not only lend my support, but I know for me, when I let go of needing somebody else to see something my way or do something that I think is right for them, when I can let go of that, then I find peace, and then I'm more able to be available to the person I'm trying to help. So, you know, I don't know what the future holds for Darlene's mom, but I just know that whatever happens, you know, I trust that everyone's going to get what they need ultimately, even if it doesn't look the way that it would be obvious it might turn out, you know?
You know, Kathy, you are so right, because sometimes the energy of holding on because we know what's right or what we think is right becomes the energy that other people latch onto for their holding on for what they think is right. And it becomes, shall we say, a collective force of energy. And then the conflict contained in that collective force of energy perpetuates the conflict and becomes the glue, the very glue that then, well, perpetuates the duress. And I most certainly encountered that with my mother in her last years, and I have so completely let go of that I just bless everyone and wish them well and don't even wish to bring it up again in this session, because it's gone. It's been consumed by the universe and redirected to other people who need to learn about that and who need to learn that our covenant in life, I'm going to turn this to a positive end. Our covenant in life, each one of you, began before you were born. And then, when you were born, you took on the covenant possibilities of the family you were born into, the physical form that was given to you for life and experience and for following your desires and conquest in life. And then you were given your friends and your environment, and those became a collective form of covenant that pressed in on you so much it caused your focus to simply shoot forward like toothpaste being pressed out of a tube. All it can do is shoot forward. And you forgot about the hand that was holding the tube of toothpaste, which is the soul that you are, the soul that brought in a covenant for life between you and God, you and your Creator. And it really makes a difference in life when we go back to our own covenant and we focus on that more than we do the pressures that are bearing on us right now, whether they're positive or negative. Sometimes we could be into, well, let's just say a brand new business and we know it's going to be successful. People are excited for us, but they're wanting us to do it their way. And we get this thinking, well, gee, but this is my career. This is my opportunity. I want to do it this way. And if I don't do it this way, I'm not sure it will be successful. But we also brought in the people who were supporting us. The way we get it back to being our way is to cease the conflict and to go back to our covenant with God. That from which we began, which is part of our supraconscious. That is the part of our consciousness that is beyond even our subconscious or our emotional mind and body, beyond our analytical mind, the superconsciousness that unites the soul with God. And therein, we have the answers for formulating our life and following through on the things we formulate. We always, even in the best of our days, we always have patterns of negotiation or little demands of negotiation. It might just be with the bank to get the best interest rate. It might just be that we decide we want to buy a previously owned automobile instead of a new one so that we can save money for something else we want to invest in, but then we get the previously owned one. Now we have to take a look at how sound it is. We might have to bring it up to a level of repair, optimum repair and service. And then we look, see, you get the gist of it. We're always negotiating about something, even if we think about, well, maybe for a while I should ride a bicycle instead of paying insurance on the car, and when I need to go somewhere long distance, I'll rent a car. Could be a good way to think. You know, the thing, the positive thing about negotiation is that it forces us either to work with others or to step outside the box altogether and get new options for our life, to get a whole new perspective on our life and think about something, think about it in ways we didn't even consider before. Now, that's one of the things that we actually can gain from the Christ blessing, because Yeshua comes to us first, to our soul. The larger life that we are, that is in our superconsciousness, that receives the Holy Spirit and then directs it into our life through our emotional body and sensitivity, into our subconscious mind and physical body, and then into the environment around us, so that we can have a more organized, cooperative, evenly directed field of energy that can move toward a positive outcome. Now, the way those positive outcomes shape up can be different for each one of us. Even for ourselves, it can be different from day to day. What you receive today may be a lovely sense of just anointing of spirit and uplifting of emotions and lifting us out of the doldrums. Tomorrow, we might have to re-encounter the issues of life, but we'll re-encounter them a little differently. We'll be able to make better negotiations. We'll be able to perhaps think outside the box, gain a better result. And so what we gain from the blessings is not only better results in life, but we learn a little bit better way of focusing our energy and negotiating with life. And we learn this by looking at greater forces of love, of life, and of energy that know how to negotiate on our behalf. It's like having an advocate that's on your side, and not only does the advocate work for you, but the advocate teaches you how to be your own advocate, your own best representative in the field of life. I know we all want to put our best foot forward in terms of what we show to the world, but are we always putting our best spirit forward in how we deal with the world? This is something we can learn by observing the way Christ's energy and the way the Holy Spirit works through us. And I want to actually take that thought a little bit into our next webinar. I haven't set a calendar date because I want to make sure that those who were in our previous webinar have a little bit of rest time in between, as well as me. But on the same, by the same token, we also need to be moving on so that we get through our next webinar before Mother's Day and summer vacations begin. I like to do two in the spring, one in the summer, and two in the fall. And that usually works out pretty well with everyone's schedule. So I haven't set an exact beginning date, but I want to talk to you about what I've been led by Spirit and by Christ, Yeshua, to speak with you about. I want to start by mentioning the first book that he wrote through me. I didn't know it was going to be a book, actually. He was with me during the time I painted the painting, and his messages were so profound, and some of them were so far beyond what I could integrate with my life at that time. I took notes, copious notes on everything. I even retired a couple of pair of blue jeans that I wrote notes on my blue jeans because I ran out of paper. I saved a few sheets of my painting palette. I use a paper palette for mixing my paints. Wrote on that and saved those sheets. So I've got a whole mixture of items. Sometimes I wrote on a paper towel when I couldn't find my notebook. But I had stacks and stacks of notes that I thought I would go through for the rest of my life, learning what he taught me. I had no idea that this would become a public presentation. But in his wisdom, and speaking again for the way he teaches us to work with our life, see, of all the teachers I've ever known or studied about, he is not the one that gives us a big lesson and then throws us out into the world and says, go get them, guys. In a way, I suppose he did that to the apostles, but I can't even imagine what it was like to walk with him for 3 years. They must have been very, very well prepared. And then he sent the Holy Spirit to them to prepare them further before they went out to the larger circumference of the then populated world. But see, what he did is after he left, he told me to give this painting to his people. Well, his people are obviously everywhere, so the only way I could do it is by making prints of the painting. And I took the painting out to exhibit it, make the prints available. Well, of course, this would lead to public presentations, but I could say whatever I felt like saying, as much as I felt like saying, with no obligation, according to how I felt with the people in front of me. In other words, he was teaching me to work with the desires and needs of other people in relation to this message and this work and the fact that this painting had been created. And he gave me 4 years to grow into that. Then he came to me and he asked me to offer the message live as a, well, to confess that we had talked. That was the first thing, is I had to admit that we actually had a conversation, and that was a big deal. And he put me in front of an audience that I thought was going to be a small audience. Turned out to be over 250 people showed up. We were hanging off the rafters, and we had to put speakers in the window to broadcast to people standing in the parking lot. They wanted to hear what he had to say. Well, I couldn't keep doing that, so that led to the book. Do you see how it's growing? He taught me how to grow. He taught me how to grow in spirit. He taught me how to grow in wisdom and in negotiating with people, many people didn't agree with me. They didn't see it the way I saw it, but they were respectful and they listened. And as they listened more, they began to see that there were valid points here, even though they might not be exactly what they were taught in Sunday school. There were valid points, and they learned from it. Then they wanted the book. One of the reasons they wanted the book is so they could go back and back and back to the pages and study them again and again and again, just the way I thought I would do with my notes originally. They wanted that book. They studied it. They loved it. They lived with it. And as they grew into the message, they wanted more. And so the Keys of Yeshua was written, and the Keys of Yeshua revealed not just the original messages, but all of his assistance to me through the years as I grew into this and as I gave new messages to people who attended seminars. And then as I was growing more and more in my own spirit, pardon me, and he was walking with me, I was growing more in my ability to understand the ways of the Holy Spirit, the ways of my own superconsciousness reaching into the Holy Spirit for visions and guidance that was valid with life. Now, I know you've met people who have a very expanded imagination, a very alive superconsciousness, but not everything they bring back from what they see is relevant to life as we live it. You know, the thing is, it takes years of working back and forth between life and ultimate possibility to weave like a silkworm, the cocoon of life that embodies both the higher spirit and life as we live it. And this is what Yeshua is teaching us how to do when he told the apostles that the kingdom of heaven is within you. He was creating an anchor point for them to attach all of their great visions and mystical experiences and guidances by the Holy Spirit into physical life. He took them out in and among people to, again, connect with people and heaven and people and heaven and people and heaven until we are able to build this beautifully interwoven bridge where life becomes enriched by the higher realms, and the higher realms then begin to serve life in an appropriate and valid way. and gradually heaven and earth become united. Eventually, somewhere down the road, they will become one. as the promise was given. Now, this is still referring back to my first opening comments, that we learn to negotiate with our brothers and sisters, with life, with the guidance we're given. This may require us to let go of our attachments to being right in limited perspectives where we think we're right, but we're not absolutely sure because we can't see the whole picture. We can't always see what's driving the other forces around us. Now, what I want to do in this webinar is to take what I've just described, and then I want to connect that with a very powerful parable in the New Testament. It's one I love, and that's the parable of living water. Yeshua sat down by a woman who was drawing water from a well, and she, after she drew the water, she offered him a drink. And he said, I will give you water from which you will never become thirsty. In other words, I have living water to offer you. And that living water will grow inside you. And it will become the answer you're looking for from the inside out. See, everything he gave us was all about planting the seed within, and then we would find our wisdom from the inside out. That's what he was offering the woman at the well. And so many times, in so many ways, he would talk about his version of the living water. Now, I know this is what people have found in Love Without End and in the Keys of Yeshua. And as they read and study the pathway I took of working through all of this, they're going to find it in the way to a greater life, because this is what it's all about, finding yourself inside God's truth. If it were not for the fact that it was also planted inside you, it would just become another book that you study. You learn from, you gain some degree of wisdom, then you put it back on the shelf and you look for another book, because it didn't quench your thirst inside. It added, perhaps, to your knowledge, your reasonability, your enlightenment. It brought you a ways down the path, and then that's as far as it could go. When we study the teachings of Yeshua, it becomes the living water inside us. And we find that everything he ever said, whether it's in the New Testament, whether it's through other teachers who have had an authentic connection with him that is direct and that has proven the test of time, we find that everything he says is a portrait of each one of us. You read Love Without End, and you know that book was written for you. It wasn't written by Glenda Green for Glenda. It was written for you. It was written for Linda. It was written for Darlene. It was written for Desmond. It was written for Larry or Kathleen. It was written for Eva, Suzanne. I go on and on down the list for people it was written for. Every one of you. Eleanor. It was written for. And as you find that it was written for you, then you find your place within that. It becomes living water, not just something you gained enlightenment from. It becomes your book. Now, I want to tell you that also this is really the way to read the Bible. Not by ethnic stories, that are hardly relevant in the modern world, especially the book, things like the Book of Leviticus and certain other books that are primarily allegory and metaphor designed to teach greater wisdom. But books like Proverbs, for example, amazing wisdom that is everlasting. And certainly the New Testament. Now we can find that there are elements that seem like judgments today. But those judgments don't impale you or offend you or misdirect you in any way once you make it your book. You see, once you make it your book, then what's there for you is what shines out. You can literally take the book and open it, and there will be something revealed that is for you. And this is what I find to be eternally miraculous about the Word of God. Anytime you find it in what I would say an authentic, time-tested form. There are a lot of people who have had their own personal experiences with God, and they write about it, but it's got a little too much of their, well, shall we say, agenda or slant or personality, and we study it once, and we get what we get, but we don't go back again to it. There are certain books that have been written, and they're more than 51% about God. They're more than 51% from Yeshua. They're more than 51% from any great living master. And if these masters actually spoke from the superconscious mind, which is the mind from which all great mastery occurs, that superconscious mind will embody the one that we are. I find this in the teachings of Lao Tzu. I have so read those teachings that when I open a book, it's always something for me because I've made it my book. It's no longer the teachings of Lao Tzu. It's the teachings that came through him for me. Now, in this webinar, I'm going to take you into how you take these three books and you make them your book for life. It doesn't mean you won't read other books, and it doesn't mean you're going to become a groupie. That wouldn't even be the right effect if you really made them your book, if you really saw the truth in it for you. You would actually be liberated from everything that's not truth or that's just not relevant for you. Little anecdotes that I spoke about my life that were certainly true in the sense of true report, but they don't mean anything to you. The part that means something to you will become your truth, and as a result, it will be your book. I think that we've arrived at the time to where these books need to be your book. And I want to help you do that. I want to help you take the next leap. So it's not going to be like an in-depth content study of the three books. We're going to focus upon highlights of all three books that I believe will launch you into the super consciousness about them, where you make an authentic connection with them yourself. And then you become the authentic and perfect receiver of those truths. So I'm right now in the stage of asking for guidance. And if it sounds as though I'm in my power on expressing the need for this, it's because I'm listening. I'm listening and I'm passing on the inspiration I'm giving. And in the next week, we will be sending out an invitation for you to enroll in this life-changing webinar. And not only will it help you to read these books and make them your book, but once you master this process, you will begin to take other books that have been divinely inspired and make them your books. You see, any book that's divinely inspired, whether it's the Dharmapada, the teachings of Lao Tzu, whether it's the teachings of Yeshua, whatever books have been divinely inspired, connect to the seed of God inside you, which Yeshua came here to activate. That's really what he was doing. He came to light the candle in your heart. And that candle was placed there before your birth, before you ever conceived of your birth. As it says in the book of Jeremiah, before you were even conceived in your mother's womb, I knew you. And I called you by name. You, as a child of God, have existed since before forever. And the universe was evolving and moving towards the moment where it was ready for your entrance into it. And what you brought into it was the spark of light that was given to you by God. And now that spark of light needs to be continually fanned and lighted and flamed and have bellows put on it to make it brighter and brighter. And this comes through your connection with other divinely inspired messages, other divinely inspired gifts from God to you. But these gifts have been given to fan the flame that you are, just as Christ's blessing this day will come to fan the flame that you are. And in fanning the flame that you are, you'll be surprised how issues in life that you're struggling with become less overwhelming to you because you shed new light on them. And this is the answer from the Christ perspective. And it's time that we got into our blessing. I felt that this was an important message because Yeshua was here standing beside me as I was speaking and letting me give you this assurance that you need to have, all of you, whether you're struggling with conflicting issues or whether you're taking on brand new, wonderful projects for a new, more meaningful life, or anywhere in between. We now surrender quietly and peacefully and with bliss and joy in our hearts, into our hearts where that light was placed eternally, even before our birth, even before we were conceived, and that we knew that this light came to meet us like a passenger on a great railway. And we stepped aboard and joined our twin, our life twin, to ride on this journey of life, teaching our twin to be illuminated and bringing light into our life. Be still. Be in your heart. Be ready to receive from the Holy Spirit and be ready to see your own light become brighter in your life. I ask Yeshua in prayer to be with you. And then I shall ask the blessing givers to join me in conducting the spirit of the Holy Spirit, that we may all be brighter, more joyful, more perfectly well in our life, more abundant and more complete. Yeshua, we thank you for being with us this day, for knowing that in spirit and by the grace of God, you are here for each of us uniquely. There are no two alike, and praise God for that, that we each bring a new blessing from God to the world. May we each find our way and our own greater light this day. Amen. Let us proceed with the blessing. Just be seated and receive. The blessings have been given. Now I want you to go and rest for at least 7 minutes. And in that rest, be quiet, be still, don't speak, don't even think, don't even continue your prayer. Just receive as you would in sleep. If you fall asleep, that's okay. If you go longer than 7 minutes, that's okay. Be well and be in the arms of God, resting to be nourished and filled by a greater spirit. Bye-bye for now, and God bless you all. Until we meet again next week, goodbye from me.